Holy Spirit, we just invite you today, Lord, as we do some teaching today, we invite you just to come and be our teacher. Just teach us, Lord. We open up our hearts to you. We thank you, Father God, that you're speaking right now and that you desire to listen to us in Jesus' name. Amen. So, we got some property here this past week because we made some property for work. And we're going to use some of that space for the ministry. And so one of the things we're going to do is, like Caleb was saying, is healing rooms, which we've had a passion for healing for a long time, and we've been blessed to see a lot of people healed over several years, really. I mean, we've just seen a lot of miracles. And so one thing that we need to do, we learned from Paul Manwaring, was that you identify what God's doing, and then you build structure around it so that it increases. All right, and so like the last 2 weeks, we had like a little over 100 people that received healing in their bodies. Just tons of different things. So that's something God's doing. And so what do we want to do? What we want to do is add structure to what God is already doing so that it will increase, so we can sustain it, so we can continue so that, you know, 100 plus healings isn't from a two-week mission experience, but it's an ongoing storyline of what's flowing through all of us together. Because we don't want just, you know, if you were to look at a graph chart, you can imagine, you know, a spike that came in May. Oh, well, the healing chart dropped the number, and then they dropped back down. And then there was another team that came, and we spiked up again. It's because we're getting structure when those teams are here, so it's staying there. So what we want to do is we want to keep a steady flow of people receiving Jesus and people steadily being healed in the body. So what are healing rooms? Healing rooms is where we are intentionally inviting people who have aches and ailments in their body to come and receive healing. It's a room that we're just setting apart. It's just commercial office space. Nothing special about the place. Just commercial office space. But we are setting aside a place to bring people to come receive healing in their body. So if they're saying, I've got aches in my back, I've got aches in my knees, I've got cancer, I'm in a life-threatening disease, or I've just got headaches, I got migraines. Whatever is ailing people, we want to have a neutral place to bring people so that they can encounter God. That wasn't necessarily my home or your home, but a safe place for you and a safe place for them. You know. And so what we're going to do is just by appointment with Kayla, we're going to organize people coming, and we want people coming. All throughout the week, we'd love Saturdays to be the main day, but you know, when it works, it works. Let's get a flow going, and then we can organize it once we've got a flow. Let's find out what's working and get invite people. You know, when you talk to people, if they tell you they have issues in the body, one of the things you can do is just say, hey, we've got a ministry member church, we pray for people. Would you be interested in coming? What a great way to outreach and facilitate healing. And so, because we're having a place for people to be healed, it is vital that all of us here are well equipped to minister healing. Amen. And to have a sound theology of why we pray for healing. Because if you believe that God allows sickness in people's lives to shape their character, then you, in theology, in practice in life, a lot of times we say yes. You know? And that's a problem. And so what we're going to do is hammer it out. And like, we truth defends itself. We don't have to be concerned to have hard conversations. Because there's real people that we pray for that have lost their lives. There are real people who are believers, who are good people, who have died. And so we have to become very solid on our end as ministers, because we're all ministers. That place, a place of healing rooms, it's not a place for me to do ministry. I'm not looking for a place to do ministry. I have a place right here. It is a place for all of us as a group, for you guys to minister healing on a regular basis, where you have the opportunity to pray and see measurable differences in people. Not, I think I feel better, not, I'm better than I was, not scalable differences. I was at a level 10, like you would tell a doctor, I was at a level 10. And now I'm at a level 5. I was at a 5, and now I'm at 0. Like, we need measurable differences. That, you know, when we have, like, you know, a doctor come to church, and they question healing, a physician wants to know, what is the measurable difference? Is there an actual scale of impact that you're making? And that's what we want to do. We want to make a real impact. So I'm going to start in 3 John chapter 1, verse 2. And so we're going to start to talk on healing for a while. We're going to stay in here for a while. Remember how we talked about giving for like a month? We're going to camp here for a while because I want to hit it from like every angle I can. 3 John chapter 1, verse 2. It says, "Beloved, I pray that in all respects you may prosper and be in good health, just as your soul prospers. For I was glad when the brethren came and testified to your truth." That is, how you are walking in the truth. And so the heart of the Apostle John is saying, I want you to be whole in your soul and in your body. And I rejoice that you are walking in the truth. So this tells us that there is, in one, it's the will and heart of God that we are whole mentally, that our emotions are not running our life. That our emotions are not what's taking us left or taking us right. When you are emotionally driven, you're soulishly driven, it can feel spiritual, you know, in the moment, because there's a lot of passion involved, a lot of emotion involved. But we're not called to be driven by emotions. We're not called to be make decisions by that. It's an emotional Christianity, and we're not called to live that way. We're called to live with our emotions subject to our spirit. Likewise, to be in good health doesn't just involve our soul, it involves our physical body. Pain and aches, ailments in our body, that God wants it under our feet, that we're walking in wholeness. And it doesn't mean that everyone doesn't have trials once in a while. It means that we have authority over those trials. You know, we are born into a sinful world. We inherited a sinful world. We were born into it. It was sin. Right? And so we have an ongoing war. Even though Jesus has overcome sin on the cross, we have an ongoing war that we're waging, right? Because in our community and when we go to the store, you're wearing a mask or you're not wearing a mask. But there's a war going on that's very real. Likewise, there's a war in the body that we're fighting. It is a finished work on the cross. But we are continually contending to bring the manifestation of Jesus' victory into our life. We were healed, we are being healed, and we will one day be completely healed. It is all three. It is the three different realms. We were saved on the cross. We died in Christ on the cross. We got saved. And then there's going to be a day that we are ultimately saved. That this is eternal life, that we know Jesus our Lord, that we are joined to Him. Salvation isn't about going to heaven, it's about going to Jesus. Heaven just happens to be where Jesus is. Yeah. So He is our salvation. He is the one we're united to. And so we were healed, we are being healed in this moment. And then there's a great day where we're going to take off this old body and we're going to put on a new body. It's the truth. So John says, I rejoice that you walk in the truth. So this is a super controversial subject for a lot of people. It's kind of like money. You talk about money, half the room is excited to talk about money. The other half does not want to hear it right now. We talk about morality, half the room is, yes, about time. So we talk about the moral issues of the day. The other half is like, cannot believe we're talking about this right now. You know, it's like that with most subjects. So if this is one for you, don't worry about it. There'll be one for someone else another day, you know. But healing is one of those things because we've all contended for healing and we've all had victories. We've all had failures too. And so there is a statement I want to say that we have to find agreement here. And this is truly non-negotiable. Like, there are things to not split hairs over. I'm not going to argue with someone over their pre-trib, post-trib, no-trib. You know, I'm not going to argue with people about those type of timeline things. But one thing is certain. It's that God wills to heal everyone, everywhere, every time.
Amen.
It is the will of God to do it.
And if we cannot settle that in our spirit, we will not be successful in healing rooms. I would say, you won't be successful in healing rooms. Other people will. But if you don't settle, it's God's will to heal everyone, everywhere, every time, you're going to have a battle. And you're going to really war with getting breakthrough. Healing is one of the places I'm happy. Like, I've seen a lot of breakthrough. I'm not finished. Like, I need to climb higher. But I've seen a lot of victories personally. Like, I've got to witness a lot of people heal. I've got to see my kids open up deaf ears in Walmart. I've got to see deaf ears open in the parks. I've laid hands on people with goiters in their throat, and their goiters shrunk under my hands. Like, I've seen God do stuff here. And so I'm not arrived, but I can give you what I got, you know. And so there, God's moving in this, and we want to continue that. My brother Aaron, that died about 3 years ago from a heart attack, 36 years old, his wife, 30, and they had a 2-year-old child, and randomly had a heart attack and died. My dad is sitting with him. My dad has seen a lot of miracles, probably more than I have. He's seen a lot of miracles. He's seen cancer healed. He's seen, like, he's prayed for the sick. He's seen, like, serious breakthrough. And he's sitting with Aaron. And if there's anybody I want in the room praying for Aaron while Aaron is physically dying in his arms, it would be my dad. Like, I would want my dad more than any person on the planet, because my dad does not operate in a feely realm. Like, when I pray for people, I feel a lot of things. Like, I feel it in my hands. I feel stuff in my hands. And I believe for it. I feel it happening. My dad feels nothing. I said, Dad, what do you feel when you pray for people? He says, nothing. And I said, what do you do? I said, I just believe. It's just faith. I just believe it. He said, oh, that's great. It's good. It's great, Dad. You know? I just believe the word, that it works. And he gets breakthrough. So if there's anybody I'd want to do that, it would have been my father sitting with him. In Jesus' name, life. In Jesus' name, life. Continue. Well, Aaron lost his life that day. And he died in my father's arms. And so he died. So it brings back the question, is it God's will to heal everyone? Is it God's will to heal every time? And is it God's will to heal everywhere? And the answer is yes. Did we get breakthrough? No. Is it God's will?
Yes.
Yes. Was there someone in faith praying? Yes. Was there someone in faith desiring to receive? I'm pretty certain Aaron was, like, not wanting to die in that moment. You know, like, please don't let me die right now. You know, it may not have been faith, but maybe more of a desperate cry for help. You know, I don't know how it would have worked out for him. But I know there's someone in faith praying on the other end, believing in the power of the word, not by a hopeless cry for help, but as someone who's seen miracles, praying in faith. Life, come into this body now in the name of Jesus. Life, I speak life. Oh, we lost him. In the name of Jesus, I thank you. You've given us power. You've commissioned us that we would raise the dead. In the name of Jesus, we command life to come back. And that war is the warfare that goes on with healing. It's always God's will to heal. It was God's will for Aaron to get breakthrough that day. I don't know why we didn't get that breakthrough. I don't know why. What I do know is that it's God's will to heal. We can't allow our experience to shape what we believe about the word. Yeah. We have to let the word shape what we believe about our experiences. That means Satan came to steal, kill, and destroy, but God came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. God's word, this, his covenant with us, remember, we're a covenant people, we relate to God based on covenant, not by feelings or emotion or experience. His word trumps our experience. I say, God, my experience says that it is not your will to heal my brother. And God says, my word says it is my will to heal your brother. I say, my experience says it was not. His word says it is. And when we make that choice in our spirit that we will believe this over our experience, we relate to God according to covenant. When we are relating to God according to covenant is the difference maker. That's why we talk about covenant for so long, because it matters so much. If we will relate to God based on this,
it puts us head and shoulders taller in stature than those in the world. Like we that's why we minister healing.
You know, if someone is dying on their deathbed, they don't want someone that is believing in their mind that God is working character into the person to pray for them. That's not, like, if you're on your deathbed, dying of cancer, and you say, I need someone just to pray for me. The last person I want to come pray for me is someone who thinks God's working character in my life through cancer. I want someone who believes that it is God's will to heal me everywhere, every time, and everyone. I'm that one. Because if you don't believe God will to heal everyone, you will put yourself in the category that's one of the ones that don't get healed. If you don't believe that it's God's will to heal everywhere, then you will automatically put yourself in the category that God heals everywhere but this 3-foot circle right here. You know? And you're the only one that does not experience God's will in your life. And so we've got to have it settled. It is a mystery. I don't have all the answers. You know, me and John were listening to John Shuttlesworth the other day. He was quoting the passage that says the soul that sins dies. I mean, sin attracts death. Yeah. It attracts death. It's law. It's a law in the world. It's like sowing and reaping. You can't stop laws. Only the grace of God can alter the pathway of laws. But when we're talking about laws, we're talking about defying gravity here. And so when you're saying, can God defy gravity, and if I drop this communion cup, you know, can he stop the cup from falling? I believe he can. But how many know that's a supernatural event? That if God breaks this law of gravity right now, if he breaks that law, that is like a supernatural divine interaction that we don't always see. Right? That's not, how many of you have ever seen a communion cup float? Yeah, about that many. So like, when you're saying, God, stop my reaping from what I've sown, you're asking God to defy gravity. Can he do it? Yeah, but there's a law at work here that God is, he's established order in the earth. Can God stop the sun from setting for Joshua? Yeah, he can. Has that happened again? No. And so the Bible says the soul that sins must die. Sin, had Adam never sinned, he would have been living on in eternal life. But because of his sin, it brought death into the world. And gradually through the Bible, we go from living like 900, 700, 600, 500 years to now like 120 by faith now. You know, Ken Copeland, probably the only one that makes it, you know, he's like, his hair's still brown. You know, just believing that you're going to live that long. And that's cool. But these are laws in the world that are there. So why is there sickness in the world? It's because there's sin in the world. They go hand in hand. They're really not that far apart. The blood of Jesus atoned for our sin, and the blood of Jesus atoned for our healing. Sickness in our body, weakness in our body, is a lot of it. It can be directly related to sin. Not saying that if you're sinful, you're automatically going to get sick. I'm saying that if you're sick, I would ask you, have you been walking in sin? You know, and this is not a workspace thing or self-righteousness thing, that if your divine health means you're completely, you know, walking free of everything. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying that there is a law there that we should consider. Okay? And so don't hear what I'm not saying. You know, the intention of kind of what I want to talk here is to navigate through the bad thinkings. Of bad schools of thought, of lies. John said, I rejoice that you walk in the truth in relation to his soul, to the soul prospering, and that we be in good health. John says, I rejoice that you are walking in the truth. So my thoughts here is we just want to kind of lay an axe to lies. And so we'll talk about covenant promises and all that stuff down the road. But there are some certain schools of thought that we've got to knock out. One is lies. One is it God's will to heal? You know, one school of thought is that healing, and I know this probably isn't our belief here as a whole, but I'm saying anyway, is that healing died and passed away with the last apostle. And so when you believe that the apostles were the last ones to minister healing, what it says is that God changed. And the Bible says, I, the Lord, change not. In the book of Exodus, God, one of the names of God is Jehovah Rapha. He says, I am the Lord that heals you. It's God's covenant of healing with us. I am the Lord that healeth thee. I am the Lord, your healer. There's a song Dong Moen wrote many years ago called I Am the God That Healeth Thee. I am the Lord, your healer. He sent my word and healed my disease. I am the Lord, your healer. It is who he is. So when you say that healing stopped with the last apostle, you're saying God's nature has changed since then. And I want to propose to you that the word of God is true, that he is the Lord. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. That he was a healer before the law. He was a healer in the law. He was a healer in Jesus. He was a healer through the apostles. And he's a healer today still. So the message that we preach to people when we say, come to our healing rooms, we're not saying there's nothing magical about our healing room. We're just saying, come to this place, and we have people who believe that God is still in the healing business. That God is a healer. I know you're going through something. I know you've got pain in your body, but God is still a healer. Man, when you preach the truth, when you speak the truth, God backs it up. He always backs up. If I just sit around talking about how God is a healer, he desires to heal, he wants to heal everyone, I feel healing come in my body. Like I feel heat come to my hands when I talk about healing. Because God is saying, I'm here. I affirm my word. That's my word. That's the truth. That is the truth. And so there's some presence attached to his truth. And so we have to be ministers of the truth. When you speak the word that God is a healer, you're going to have healing move through you. And you're going to see people healed. People are going to come out of wheelchairs. People are going to put down crutches. People are going to take out hearing aids. People who had no ability to see, their eyes change colors and light comes in and they begin to see. This is for every single believer, but it starts with believing that God wills to heal everyone, everywhere, every time, and that God is the Lord who changes not. He was a healer then. He's Jehovah Rapha. So let's say the name Jehovah Rapha. Everyone? And I am the Lord, your healer. If you get that one thing, he is the Lord, my healer, and you refuse to let go of that, at all costs, you lock into that, you're going to see breakthrough. You'll see breakthrough in yourself. You'll see breakthrough over your kids. You'll see breakthrough over people that are around you. And you will see the hand of the Lord show up because that's who he is. When we begin to change our theology about healing, it changes our expectation about healing.
Yeah.
You know, when we have a bad thinking or a lie in our mind about healing, it kills expectation. It kills faith. It sucks it out of the room. It kills hope right on. And if someone comes to you in a healing room or wherever we're at on outreach at the Fountains or something like that, and they feel your lack of expectation, it sucks faith right out of there. Jesus, when he was in Nazareth, the Bible says he could do no mighty miracle among them, except he laid his hands and healed people. Meaning, there was such unbelief among the people that there was no mighty works. There was no multiplying. There was no mighty miracles that were happening. He just happened to put his faith on people. And because of his faith, he put his hands on them and healing transferred because he's Jesus. You know? And so, if we want to get to the realm of greater works, we've got to change our expectation. Romans chapter 3, verses 3 through 4. And so, us have an expectation. You know the world expects to be healed when you pray for them? The world does not believe that God, it's not God's will to heal. If you tell someone in the world, hey, I want to pray for you, God wants to heal you, they believe you. 9 out of 10 times. The people who don't believe you are weird church people.
Yeah.
It is weird church people that believe God doesn't heal.
is weird church people, you know, that believe that God is trying to work something in you to perfect you into Christ's likeness. That is weird, and it is twisted. So it says, Romans 3, chapter 3 through 4, what then if some do not believe? Their unbelief will not nullify the faithfulness of God, will it? Meaning, if everyone else doesn't believe it, that does not affect you. Their unbelief does not affect the faithfulness of God. God is faithful to his word.
Amen.
Verse 4, may it be true. Rather, let God be found true, though every man be found a liar. And so that means God's true whether other people believe it or not. Acts chapter 10, 38 reads about how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how he went about doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil because God was with him. So that was the ministry of Jesus. That is the clearest ministry of Jesus that we have. He was anointed by the Holy Spirit, he went about doing good, and he healed all. Is it God's will to heal everyone? It says he healed all. Hebrews 1:3 says that Jesus is the exact representation of the Father. And so Jesus the Son, if you want to know what God the Father is like, you have to look at Jesus the Son. And the Bible says he healed them all. 17 times in the Gospels, he healed them all. It is the will of God to heal all the time. Jesus is the perfect standard. He's the perfect representation. We can't just believe the word and not have the anointing flowing through us. Jesus is in the healing business. He never turned anyone down. No one came to Jesus. He said no. The closest was the Syrophoenician woman, which we've discussed, which he was said, I was sent to lost sheep of the house of Israel. She's a Gentile. It wasn't her dispensation to receive it. The healing was children's bread for Israel. She would become a part of the spiritual Israel after Peter had the encounter with the Lord with the sheep that comes down, and God commissions Peter to go to the Gentiles. That would have been her time. Just like it was Israel's time when Jesus came. It would have been her time there. And so Jesus wasn't rejecting her. It wasn't her dispensation. But even because of her faith, she obtained a promise that was out of time for her. And she still got it. She broke all the rules. We don't believe that suffering and sickness are hand in hand. When the Bible talks about suffering, we don't teach and we don't believe that God causes suffering to work out your perfection in Christ. Biblical suffering is about persecution. It is going into a lost place that does not know Jesus, and you go and you bring the light of God into that world, and they try to stifle out your light. You know, we had missionaries that came to stay with us in Mexico, and they would sweat through the night. And we would wake up sweating because we were trying to reach Mexico. They didn't have money to buy Aries AC, and we're just pouring sweat, waking up at 3 a.m. because you're so hot and we're sleeping in a puddle. That is a measure of suffering. Like, that is not the will of God trying to bring heat into your life. You're going after the lost. Those are types of suffering. But it's never sickness. So we don't ever pray for sickness. We never pray for suffering in our life. The truth is, if you're advanced in the kingdom, you don't have to. There are places in the world I said, I've got guys that I need to reach, and man, I've really got to be very careful about how I do it. And yet, I'm still given the command to go. That I think, what if this, what if this, what if this? And I have to think of all these scenarios, because I have pastors, people who live in wars that warn me about places that I'm going and have genuine concerns for myself. And yet, I'm still faced with the command from Jesus to go. There's a suffering that is there, that is in obedience to the gospel, where we take up the cross and we follow him. It's the suffering on the cross. It's not sickness. It's not cancer. It's not a cold. It's not a fever. It's not COVID. God gave me COVID to teach me, you know, that I was too proud. That's not the heart of the Father. And when we're ministering to healing, we can't let go that he's a good Father. That a father doesn't put sickness on his children to teach them things. He'll discipline them. You know, slap the butt, tell them they're doing wrong. He'll take away privileges. say, hey, you're not driving the car this weekend because you're acting stupid. You know, like, that's just a good parent. He's a good parent. But he doesn't put sickness. I mean, Angie, I can't imagine ever putting sickness on Josiah to teach him a lesson. Like, we would do a lot of things to our children, but we wouldn't put sickness on our children. Like, that's not a good father. It's not a good mother. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 2. For indeed we have had good news preached to us, just as they also, but the word they heard did not profit them, because it was not united by faith in those who heard. That means when we hear the word, we have to mix faith with it. We have to. It is not just the word by itself. The word by itself is not going to get you breakthrough. You have to unite faith to this. It is the gas that goes in the engine. If you unite faith with it, that's where you see the hand of God. If it is choosing to mix faith with it. Faith can look like believing it and speaking it out loud. It can be speaking it out loud. That is an operation of faith. That is what we're most commonly taught. And I want to add into that, believe it and speak it. In the realm of faith, it's not a soulish thing. A lot of people do not get breakthrough when they mix the word, because they're not mixing the word with faith, they're mixing it with soul. They're just repeating the word. Well, I say it, I'm healed. But you're sick. No, I'm healed. Okay, I understand what we're saying. We're trying to speak faith, not speak doubt. But what I want to help is that there is an experience that people are having where they are going to their sickbed and dying in the hospital room saying, I'm healed. And I've prayed for people, faith people, who are preachers, ministers of the gospel, where they are dying in their bed, and like, I want to minister healing today. I'm healed. I'm already healed. It's already done. Faith, real faith, does not deny what is in front of you. Real faith speaks to it and moves it. We've got to cause it to move. We've got to have substance. We've got to have breakthrough. We can't just be saying stuff and be satisfied that we never got breakthrough. I mean, I think that is probably what has burned a lot of people in our charismatic circle, is that we've said things and never got the breakthrough. I'm healed. Never got healed. You know what I'm saying? Like, we've got to unite faith. It is a spiritual thing. It is in your heart. It is engaging with the presence of God. The best picture I can tell you is in Genesis 1, where it says the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the deep, and God spoke, let there be light. He spoke into the presence. The presence of God was there, and then he spoke into it. And when he did, something happened. That's the best picture I can give you of how it works. I've just spoken my whole life, because I grew up around it. But there's a difference from when I started seeing miracles. And it's when the presence was involved. In the presence, Holy Spirit hovering over a person. The Bible says brooding is another word. Brooding over a person. Holy Spirit, come over Freddie right now. Holy Spirit, come. Now, speak the word in the name of Jesus. By your stripes, be healed. That's how you get ready. Invite the presence and speak into it. It's not just speaking into it. I'm telling you, it's not a soulish thing. I feel that strongly. That's what we get taught. That's what TV preachers teach. Just repeat it. I'm healed. No, you, this is the problem, is you're not healed. You haven't got breakthrough. You're bound, you're sick, and you're dying. And you're in your head. And it is religion. You know, let me tell you what religion does. Religion restrains you. Religion says you can't face the reality because you're healed. This happened to me with one girl. She went off to a Bible school. We come from like revival circles. Like, we pray for the rain of heaven to come. This girl went off to a seminary somewhere, and she got taught in her seminary that the Holy Spirit already rained down in the upper room. And because the Holy Spirit had already been poured out, you're not to pray for the rain of the Holy Spirit. Don't pray for rain because you've already got it. That's what religion does. It restrains you. It says you cannot pray for more of the Holy Spirit because he's already been poured out. And so that happens here in healing. You can't pray to be healed because you're already healed. It is religious. It is complete religious. And if that's in you, you have to repent out of it. You got to turn out of it because it says that I can't believe for healing, that I can't believe for freedom, I can't believe for anything because it was all done on the cross. Yeah, it was all done on the cross. It was actually all done before Jesus entered the world. He was slain before the foundation of the world. But yet Jesus had to be born in the world and be slain. We were in Christ. In him are all things and to him are all things. And yet Jesus comes, we come to him and we will be given to him. So we have to realize that tri-dimensional way of things that we were healed. But in this moment, we've got to have healing right now. Yes, we are healed. But right now, in the name of Jesus, we pray, let heaven come on earth as it is in heaven. We invite your presence and we command these knees be healed right now in this moment. Not yes, we were healed. No, right now we are healed. And then you get breakthrough. I'm telling you, you will see healing. You will see deliverance. You will see people come out of wheelchairs. You will see supernatural things happen when you don't get religious. It is a religious thing. And man, I hate religion, man. It is like Rodney says, it's like waving a red flag at a bull. Like, I don't like religion. I don't like religion. I hate when people to feel restrained. You can't pray for healing because you're already healed. You can't pray for deliverance because you're already delivered. You can't pray for more of the Holy Spirit because the Holy Spirit was poured out. Like, listen, that is garbage. And we can't live there. We have to have the real deal. Invite the Holy Spirit and let his kingdom manifest right here. And that will touch people. It will change people. And it is salt in the earth. It is salty. Because when you pray for people and you have results, they say, who is that? What are you doing different? That's what Jesus did. I mean, with the apostles in Luke 11, the disciples at the time, they said, Jesus, would you show us how to pray? Because he was getting a completely different set of results. His results were not like their results. He said, Jesus, can you show us how you do that? So this is my exhortation of, this is how we do that. Invite the presence. Speak into it. You'll see an amazing, amazing work of the Lord happen on the inside of you. There's a perverse understanding of God's sovereignty. That God allows sickness for X reason, or God allows things. You know, a misunderstanding that I would say the most intellectual among us really has a hard time. To believe God is all-powerful and that he controls whether you have sickness or not. Well, God gave Adam control whether he wanted to fall, obey him or not, and Adam chose not to. And so the soul that sins must die. That's why you have sin. That's why you have sickness in your body. You know, the Bible tells us in the book of James, it says, submit to God and resist. We stand in opposition, resisting sin. Resisting the work of the devil. Satan came to steal, kill, and destroy. So our job, we submit to the lordship of Jesus and we resist. Oh man, I'm struggling with sin. I'm struggling with X, Y, Z. I'm struggling with this. Submit to God. I come to worship of Jesus. And resist. Part of what you're resisting is sickness. Say no. COVID, no. I resist. I've got friends that believe like I do that got COVID. I'm sorry, but we're going to resist. Standing in opposition. This is what you're doing for people. When someone comes to you and they say, hey, I'll come to your healing room and sure, I'll give it a shot. When people are in real pain, like true pain, people get desperate. And not like an afternoon of pain. I mean like years of pain. People like just... give me whatever you got, you know, give me your biggest one, you know, give me your biggest shot, give me your, you know what I mean? We've all seen people like that, like, you got shots, give me the big one, you know? Like, people will do anything. People practice
voodoo, they practice, they do whatever you tell them, just get, deal with this problem. So what are you doing on their behalf? It is that verse, submitting to God, and you're saying, I'm going to resist the devil with you. We resist. I know it's hard, but you're saying, we're going to resist. Matthew chapter 16, when Jesus is talking with the disciples, he tells us whatever we bind on earth is bound in heaven, and whatever we loose on earth is loose in heaven. The New American Standard says whatever has been bound in heaven, we can bind on earth. Whatever has been loosed in heaven can be loosed on earth. So this is a really unique passage. Because I've heard it taught both ways, and I'm going to get from the New American because I think this is more accurate. So it says, whatever has been bound in heaven. Okay, so what's bound in heaven? Is sin bound in heaven? Yeah. Is sickness bound in heaven?
Yep.
It is bound. Bound, I mean, it is constrained. It is not free. Sin, sickness, bondage is under bondage. Like, it is not free to roam. Whatever is bound there, it says you are free to bind it here. If I know sickness is not free in heaven, I have authority in the earth to say you are not free here. That's what Jesus is teaching us. Someone comes into the healing rooms, I've got horrible back pain. Oh man, I'm so sorry about that. Can I pray for you? Sure, come pray for me. Father, I thank you that back pain is bound in heaven. That's the truth. Jesus paid the price on the cross so that sickness would be bound in heaven. Now, in this back, in the name of Jesus, I bind this pain right now. And I constrain it. I resist it. That's actualizing our authority in the earth. I stop it right now. Like, if you're trying to catch something, you'd be kind of, that, got it, you know? Like, I got it right there. What is free there, what is loose there, you can loose it here. Well, healing is loose there. Healing, Bible says, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. So there is a realm of freedom and a realm of healing that is happening in heaven right now. It's all healed. It's all good. No pain, no sickness, no disease. So I'm with the person now. Father, in the name of Jesus, according to your word, I bind up that pain and I loose healing. I bind that pain as it is there in heaven, and I loose healing like it's loose there in heaven. And you will have supernatural breakthrough. Things will happen right before your eyes. That New American Standard translation is more accurate because it aligns with the heart of Jesus' prayer in Matthew 6:10 to pray, let your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. You know, to pray that it's as it is up here. Pray that it would manifest like that here on the earth. So that's our call for His will to be done. Old covenant law. I mean, looking through scripture. I mean, there's a lot of stories in the Old Testament about people who got sick. And Miriam and Aaron complain. Cloud comes down. Cloud goes up. Miriam has leprosy. Well, what happened? Devil didn't give her leprosy. The glory of the Lord came down. Lift it, she had leprosy. This is so under the old covenant, there is judgment for sin. There is judgment there's wrath. You can't say there's no wrath. Like, that's pretty wrathful right there. Like, you look through the Old Testament, there are stories and stories about people who had sickness and stuff like that. This is one of them. But that was a curse. Go read Deuteronomy 28. The blessings are like this long. The curses are like this long. Mm-hmm. But if we read the Bible and we think that we're living under that same covenant, we're very mistaken. And so that what their people were experiencing there was the curse. In Numbers 21, the Lord sent vipers and people died by thousands. That's a curse.
You know, vipers, you know, viper is bad. Vipers, plural, is really bad. And the fact that they're commissioned by the Lord is like, oh my gosh, this is a bad day. You know, you have vipers coming into the room right now. And you know the Lord sent them. That's a curse.
And so Moses takes the serpent, puts it up on a pole in Numbers 21. Verse 9 says, so Moses had a bronze snake and put it up on a pole. Then when anyone was bitten by a snake and looked at the bronze snake, they lived. So these vipers are coming at people under a curse, because they're under a curse. Moses sets up the bronze snake, on the pole and says, if you'll look upon it, you'll live. And it's a type and shadow that Jesus, that as the serpent was lifted up on the pole, says, so the Son of Man must also be lifted up. Just like the people was, they were cursed for what they did. The Bible says, cursed is every man that hangeth on a tree. That was Jesus. That when Jesus was lifted up, he brought us deliverance from the curse of the law and has brought us into the reign of grace. He brought us deliverance from the curse and the punishment that came from that, and he brought us into it. He took the curse on himself, the person Jesus. That is the victory of the cross. That he won it for us. Cursed is every person that was hanging on a tree. Like, he took it for us. You know, my heart, my intention this morning was, I hope I talked about a few of the schools of thought of why people don't get breakthrough, why people don't do it. We're going to take time over the next few weeks, and we're going to hammer this from a lot of different angles. I'm going to give you tools that you can use in the healing room, but also better that you can use in your life. You know, things that you can unite your faith with that is the Word of God. And we don't want people to just get healed, we want them to stay healed. How many of you know someone that got healed and a week or two later lost, like the healing went away? We've seen that? Someone that got healed and like they've been lifted? Yeah. People need it. This is not just a point of people having an encounter, it's a point of discipleship. We want to teach people how to have people in their life. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord God, I pray that you would just speak to us, Lord God, as we're on this journey of healing, God, that we are equipped to relate to you according to your covenant, Father God, that we are equipped to not just be healed, Father God, but to minister healing, Lord Jesus, that people who come into our sphere, that we can see people completely restored and made whole. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Amen.